As you're turning there, how many of you guys have seen the movie The Karate Kid, the 1984 version? I had to do some homework last night. I wanted my kids to know what I was talking about this morning. So as a family, we watched it last night. They've seen the newer one, but I wanted them to see the real one from the 80s. All right. So this morning, I'm going to share some spoilers. So if you haven't seen it in the last 36 years, I'm sorry. Okay? The main character, Daniel, continues to get bullied and beaten up, and he wants to learn karate to protect himself. Well, his first reason was to get revenge, but Mr. Miyagi said no. So he wants to learn this to protect himself. He befriends an old man named Mr. Miyagi who promises to teach him karate if Daniel promises to do exactly what he says. Over the next several weeks, it seems as if Mr. Miyagi is just using Daniel for free labor. He has Daniel wash and wax his cars, sand his floor, and paint his fence, both sides. Daniel is quite sore and frustrated. However, when he confronts Mr. Miyagi, his teacher shows him that all the movements to do these chores were training his memory and muscles to do basic blocking moves for karate. It was a powerful scene in the movie. Even though his training didn't make sense at the time, his teacher was preparing him with disciplines he would carry out the rest of his life and when dealing with bullies. And this morning we will be considering God's design in training people to be prepared for life's challenges and how to have relationships with one another. I know we're missing quite a few people this morning, but I had to chuckle to myself when I noticed most of the kids and teens were here. So we're going to be talking about the fifth commandment this morning, about honoring your father and mother. But for those who haven't been here or are unfamiliar, this summer sermon series is called 10 Words and the Gospel. And we're talking how God rescued the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt and gave them 10 commandments to obey so that they could live spiritually free as well. And we're looking carefully at each one of the 10 commandments given to Moses and the Israelites at Sinai and seeing how Jesus fulfills and transforms the way we obey them. So before we read our text today, I just wanted to talk about something else here. In Matthew 22:36, a Pharisee tries to test Jesus by asking him what the greatest commandment of the law is. Jesus replies by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So in the Old Testament, God gave his people 10 commandments. Now Jesus sums up the 10 commandments into two: love God and love your neighbor. And for many years, Christians have described these as the vertical and the horizontal commandments. The first four of the 10 commandments are vertical in relationship and in application. They describe how we love God with our heart, soul, and mind. The following six commandments are horizontal in relationship and application, and they describe how we love our neighbor as ourselves. The meaning of all scripture points to God's desire to see these two commandments lived out throughout the world. So we've already considered the first four commandments, the vertical ones. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This morning we will look at the fifth commandment, the first of the horizontal ones. And it is also the first commandment with a promise attached to it. So Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Before we start looking at the meaning and application of this commandment, I want to think back to God's design from creation. Remember, God made both man and woman in his own image and brought them together in marriage to become one flesh. Then he gave them a command, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Fill this place with my image and with my worship. In order to multiply and fill the earth, God gave them the ability and the privilege to make families. God designed people to have children, who then grow up and have children, who have children. Yahweh God is a God of families, so we are to cherish families. He is also a God of order and structure. Babies are fully dependent on their parents to keep them alive and help them grow. And a father and mother are called to train up a child not only to survive physically, but to thrive spiritually. This means parents need to raise their children to know and love God. When new humans are born into this world, the parental relationship is the first and most important. It helps shape all other relationships. And I want to preface by saying I understand that there are always exceptions. But generally speaking, think of what each of us learned from our parents as children. We learned that there was authority over us. We learned that we must listen. And sometimes that means doing things we don't want to do. We learned respect and obedience. And hopefully, we learned about love and protection. So when God commands the Israelites to honor their father and mother, what does he mean? What is honor? The Hebrew word for honor means heavy or weighty. To honor someone then is to give weight to a person's status, giving them a position of respect and authority over you. And unfortunately, we live in a culture that does not value honor or respect. We hear the word authority and cringe, don't we? Our current culture undermines honoring parents in so many ways. Instead, it values individual freedom and individual expression. Younger people tend to think older people are out of date and irrelevant because they don't keep up with the latest model phone, app, or trend. Middle-aged people tend to forget about their parents in the busyness of their lives. And older people often place the responsibility of caring for their aging parents on someone else. We are living in an environment where honor is not thought of very highly, if at all. As followers of Jesus, however, we must be countercultural and engage with God's word to see what it means to honor parents and what it looks like in every season of our lives. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Who is this command for? When I was younger, I always thought this commandment was the one for the kids. Put the dishes away, mow the yard, or go to bed when your parents tell you. It is for kids. But I think this commandment reaches beyond adolescence. The age of those honoring their parents is not specified. I think this is deliberately broad. Honoring your parents might require different actions at different times. Honoring your parents at 8 years old looks different than honoring them at 18, which looks different than honoring them at 68. And you might be saying to yourself, honoring your parents is probably a good principle, but is it really that big a deal? Well, God seemed to think this structure of family and respect was a big deal. Listen to what God instructs to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to him, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gates of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it? However, a perfect and holy God has called his children to be holy, and if they reject his design and law, they deserve the punishment for their sin against God and his holy people. It has been this way since the beginning of creation. If we humans are created in the image of God, we should all first think of ourselves as his children. We are to honor him as our heavenly Father above anyone else. However, when man and woman first sinned against their heavenly Father in Genesis 3, they could no longer dwell with him and were cursed and cast away from the garden. As you read scripture, you will see how often God is grieved by man's sin against him and against their fellow men. Jeremiah 32:30 says, "For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight from their youth. The children of Israel have done nothing but provoke me to anger by the works of their hands, declares the Lord." God challenged the spiritual leaders in Malachi 1:6 when he said, "A son honors his father and a servant honors his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor?" Paul says in Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death." We are all born with a sin nature and are rebellious sons and daughters against God, and therefore deserve the eternal punishment for our sins. But there is good news. The Lord sent his own son, Jesus, to live a life according to God's good law. Jesus obeyed the law and honored his Father's will perfectly. After Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Later in Jesus' ministry, he ascends a mountain with three of his disciples and is transfigured before them, and a voice from a cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus also told the crowds who followed him, "Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." If we are to be in the family of God and please our heavenly Father, we must first put our complete faith in the only Son that did obey him. It is only when we are connected to Jesus and justified by faith that we can be sanctified and able to obey the fifth commandment. Parents, when we first honor and obey God, and when we first honor and obey those God placed in authority over us, we set the proper example for our children. They can then develop habits of respect and obedience by watching our example and applying what they are taught. This is the first commandment given with a promise attached to it. Let's consider this promise. "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Does this mean that when we honor our parents, we will live really long lives? I don't think that's what that means. I think this promise means not necessarily a long life, but an abundant life. If you want to reap as many blessings God has for you, it starts with honoring the parents and authorities he's placed over you. This is God's promise to you in Christ. Now, some people here might be thinking, "I have or had terrible parents. How am I supposed to honor them?" In Acts 5, the apostles are arrested for teaching in the name of Jesus and strictly told not to continue. But Peter stands up to the high priest and says, "We must obey God rather than men." The same principle holds true today. If the authorities above you command what God forbids or forbid what God commands, you must not obey them, whether it is the government or your parents. But I do think we should pray that these are rare cases. If they are not commanding what God forbids or forbidding what God commands and are just difficult to honor, I want to remind you of what Paul says in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord. It's part of our devotion to Jesus to honor mom and dad. Even when the relationship is difficult or broken, or you have parents who are unbelievers, you can witness the gospel to them by obeying and submitting in the Lord. Remember that Jesus was perfect and his earthly parents were not. And yet Luke 2:51 says Jesus went from Jerusalem to Nazareth with his parents and was submissive to them. Submission should not be a sign of weakness, but rather a sign of maturity and honor. One of the great reformers taught that giving honor to someone requires reverence, obedience, and gratitude. Children and teens, listen up. Rich off children. You give reverence to your parents because of their God-given position of authority over you. You give obedience to your parents because you are living in their household and obedience pleases the Lord. You show gratitude to your parents because they are sacrificing and giving more than you probably realize. Just like Daniel in The Karate Kid, you may not always understand the reasons they are having you do or not do certain things, but they are actually preparing you for the battle called life. They want to see you be responsible and safe, have a good job and raise a family, but they also want to see you prepared for the spiritual battle that will continue to rage against you in your adulthood. Honor your parents by accepting their experience and wisdom. Don't be ignorant. They are more woke than you think. Parents are God's gift to you to set boundaries and guard you from your impulses. I didn't write this down, but I will confess there has been many times in my life where I thought my parents were ridiculous. But now as an adult, I look back and I might do things a little different, but I can see that they were looking out for my good and they were doing the best they could with what they had at the time. So mom and dad, I know you listen to this. Thank you. So many here might not have children or living parents, yet you will please God by loving the family of God, the church. Christians today should understand the fifth commandment to be applicable in any relationship of authority in our lives, but especially within the church. In the New Testament, Paul instructs wives to submit to their husbands, bondservants to obey their masters, and that believers should submit to the governing authorities. Peter says that younger men should honor older men, and that all should fear God and honor the king. And the writer of Hebrews instructs those in the church to remember their church leaders and to imitate their faith. We, as members of Cornerstone Church, should desire and strive to have a culture where young people respect and honor older generations, and older generations are patient and gracious to the young people. As your pastor and elder, I want to share how thrilled I am to have three older men as my fellow elders. I value having them speak into my life. They have gone much farther in godliness than I have, and I want to lean into them by listening to them and honoring them. As I conclude, I want to share something I recently read. Four simple things you can start using in your regular vocabulary as a way to honor your father and your mother. So children and teens, again, listen up. This will be a help to you. Number one, yes, mom, or yes, dad. If mom asks you to sweep the floor, instead of arguing why you didn't make the mess, you offer prompt and cheerful obedience. Number two, thank you, mom, or thank you, dad. If they make a wonderful meal, drive you somewhere, or teach you something new, say thank you. Number three, I'm sorry. Relationships are challenging and we sin against one another. When you do, humble yourself and repent. Tell them what you did was wrong and apologize for it. And number four, this may apply to adults or older children. Number four is hello. Acknowledge your parents when you come home from school or work. If you live away from your parents, call them up. Stop by to visit. Deepen your relationship and your communication. So I just want to take a minute here for us to repent of the ways where we have sinned against God's fifth commandment to honor your father and mother. And for children, that might be easier as you live with mom and dad and you interact with them every day. For adults, maybe your parents are still living, maybe they've passed, but we can still confess for past sins and honor the Lord in our confession. So let's just take a minute to confess our sins.